We're concluding our sermon series today about who are we after Easter. Let me review. We are the people who believe. We are the people who behave. Today I'm going to be talking about we are the people who belong. It's not just good enough for us to believe or to behave. We also need to belong. To belong to Jesus, to belong to one another. It's a wonderful thing to know that we belong to Jesus because he says, I am the good shepherd. I am like none other. You know, the good shepherd's job description, Jesus gives it. As the good shepherd, he has promised, first of all, he knows us. There's no better blessing in life than to be known and loved, and the good shepherd both knows us and loves us. And he calls us by name. And we can trust his voice. And this good shepherd is like none other because he will provide what we need and also guide us in the way to go and protect us. And this good shepherd will lay down his life to save his sheep. In fact, that's what Jesus did. You know, I like what Jesus said in John's gospel. No one takes my life from me. No one takes it. I give it. I have the right to take it up and to lay it down. I give my life that you may have life. And so he's our good shepherd. He died on the cross that we might have life. And in rising again, he has shown us that he will continue to be our shepherd always. It's a wonderful blessing to belong to Jesus. But not only are we called to belong to Jesus, which we know is a good thing, we're called to belong to one another. Matter of fact, you have no other choice. You see, when we believe in Jesus and we say, Jesus, I will follow you, he's going to bring along other people too. And these are his sheep, just like we're one of his sheep, the sheep of his fold. And so together in this fold, we belong to one another, and it's a kind of a fellowship that we belong to. Is it a perfect fellowship? No. I don't know of any such thing as a perfect fellowship, but I do know that we are the laboratory for learning how to love and be loved and to forgive and be forgiven, and that we are the best laboratory there is because this community is not something we create, but something that's already been created through the Holy Spirit. This fold that we belong to is the gift of community, and we belong to one another. It's a wonderful fellowship. And let me tell you about how we're blessed. In the New Testament, there are over 50 one another's or each other. We are to pray for one another, encourage one another, to exhort one another, to submit to one another. All these one another's, and the greatest of all, of course, is to love one another. These are the ways that we stay healthy. These are the ways that we're blessed. You know, I often tell people this, but apart from salvation in Jesus Christ, the greatest blessing that is ours as a Christian is the blessing that we have of our brothers and sisters in Christ, through whose fellowship we are nurtured and cared for. I truly believe that. Now, when I think about belonging to one another, I step back just a moment. I truly believe this. There is within every human being a longing to belong. And if you don't believe it, go to one of the local high schools. Every student in a local high school is asking this question. Do I fit in here? Do I belong there? If I can't fit in here and belong there, where can I go to fit in and belong? And by the way, I don't want to go back to high school again. It's tough. It's tough. It's, you know, I've told this often, but when I drive down Walnut Street and I see the high school students walking across Walnut Street, here's the way they do it. Well, at first I was going, man, why don't they watch where they're going? Well, now I don't do that because I say, listen, William, put yourself in their shoes. You don't have any idea what kind of day they're having, what they're going through. Matter of fact, the Lord says, right then, right there, in your car, as you wait on them to pass by and then go through, lift them up in prayer. I can't imagine what it would be like to find out where you belong. And here's the sad part. If they can't find the good places to belong, they'll join the bad places. They say that the fastest small group among young people today, the fastest small group is not the small group down at your local church, but is the small group called the gang. Because you'll be accepted there. And so I wouldn't really want to go back to high school, but now Jesus is beginning to prompt me a little bit to recognize that I need to look at everybody as someone who's longing to belong. And Jesus is saying, I have sheep who do not know they have a shepherd. I have sheep that are not a part of this fold, but whom I want to be a part of this fold. And just as much as I care for you, William, and just as much as I care for all the sheep in my fold, I care for those who are on the outside, that they may come to be inside. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus entrusts us with that kind of a ministry. That kind of a ministry. That kind of ministry that first of all recognizes that there's a danger in the church. We need to have an antenna. The three dangers. The first danger is when we become content with who we have. I look around in my group. We're all here. That's good. This is good. We got a pretty good church. We're good to go. No. The danger of content with what we have is we're neglecting those who have no shepherd or no place to belong. The second danger of the church, of course, is to say, well, you know what? There basically are two kinds of people in the world. They're insiders and outsiders. I'm an insider, and then there are outsiders. That's just the way it is. That's a danger. That's a real danger. Because you see, Jesus says there's one shepherd and there's one fold. And he purposely went to those who were considered outsiders in society that they might be brought in to become insiders. And Jesus was always, always building his flock and adding to it, I have other sheep. I have other sheep. You know, he went to Nicodemus. He went to Zacchaeus, get the name straight, who was a despised tax collector up in a tree. And he went home. And Jesus went to the places where the people were. He went home. And when he walked inside Zacchaeus' house, he said, today salvation has come to your home. You too are a son of Abraham. You belong. You know, Jesus went to people who were on the outside of society so often and helped them to come to understand that they had a place in God's family. And then the third danger, of course, of the church is sometimes we say, well, you know, we're too big. We're too big. Well, let me ask you this. As long as there's one person out there somewhere who needs Jesus and a place to belong, are we too big for them? They could be your grandson or your granddaughter who moves to our neighborhood. You never know. Those are the three dangers. And so it's kind of interesting how, we belong to Jesus and we belong to one another, but we also know that because Jesus said, other sheep do I have who do not belong to this fold, but yet I desire to belong, we are called to reach out. I have a little poem that I have not committed to memory, but it would be a good idea to commit it to memory. It's by Edwin Markham, born in 1852. He died in 1940. He was an American poet. It is a very short little poem, only four lines, and it's called Outwitted. He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that's what it means to be the church. We continue to draw the circle bigger to include more and more people that Christ has already expressed a love for. And we keep drawing that circle bigger and bigger. And do you know that you can change the world by helping one person in the world to know community, to know the love of God? Because one person is a part of this world. And so often we fail to realize that each of us in our own way can draw that circle wider and change the world. Karen Deere has a testimony. She was driving down the street one time somewhere where she lived. I can't get the story exactly right, but it comes down to this. She passed by a nursing home, and the Lord said to her, there is your ministry. There's some people there that just are invisible to a lot of the people in the community, and you are to go there and be the church there. And that's where she met Michael Rubens. And so she started going back there, and she started a ministry there. She started providing worship services there. She would bring others with her who would bring gifts there. And she discovered there's Christians there. There are people who believe there. There's a community of belief there. But there's a great loneliness there. There's also a great question mark, you know, question mark of, am I needed in the world today? And so that's where a significant ministry in her life started. Was there, and she continues to go back. And she brought Michael Rubens to us, and he became a part of us, and we became a part of him. And I prayed with him this morning, and I'm thinking, Karen Deere drew the circle larger. It's helping to change one life. And so I think about that, how that's what Jesus is talking about. We are to just keep drawing the circle wider and wider and wider. And so what's the application? The application to the message today is fairly simple. First of all, how can we leave our comfort zones to perhaps reach out to someone who's different from us, or someone who's not known to us, perhaps go to a different community or different part of the town that we normally go to? How can we move out of our comfort zones to join others? Now, there is a story in the 8th chapter of Acts where Philip is sent down to a certain place, and there's this Ethiopian eunuch who's in a chariot reading scripture. He doesn't understand it or anything. And of course, to the Jews, he would be what's called an outsider. He was not an insider, although he was seeking perhaps to become, a part of the faith, the teaching of the Torah. He was reading scripture, didn't understand it, and he was in the chariot. And so Philip sees him, and the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to him, join him. And he just obeyed. He went, and he was just present with him. That's all you got to do. Go and be present with other people. And then, of course, not only did he go out, and not only did he join him, but then he listened to him. What were the concerns of this man? What were the concerns of this Ethiopian eunuch? And by the way, this Ethiopian eunuch really was an outsider, because he was a servant within the court there in Ethiopia. Those who served as inner servants within the circle, you know, of royalty, men, they were castrated. They were castrated. They were castrated for several purposes, so they could strictly stick to their job and not in any way be tempted, not in any way find their way into something that would mess things up within the court, and they could be trusted that they were servants, and that's what they did. But according to the law in Leviticus, no castrated person could come into the temple. You weren't permitted. You were an outsider. You were unclean. And so even though this person was trying to become a believer, at least according to the Torah, he wouldn't have been welcome in the temple. And Philip certainly wasn't looking for an Ethiopian eunuch that day, but he went to him, left his comfort zone, went to him, joined him, and I kind of picture him kind of jogging alongside the chariot, and then he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" Ethiopian's probably saying, "Well, you know, before you interrupted me, I'm reading this stuff in Isaiah." What are you reading in that stuff in Isaiah? And he says, "Well, I don't know what this is." He was beaten and stripped on our account. And read more. And by his stripes, we are healed. He suffered for the behalf of yes. And do you have a question about that? Yes. Who is this person that I'm reading about? See, you go out, you join, you listen, you ask questions, and you'll find out how to share the gospel. Philip said, "That's Jesus." And that's all he had to say. That's Jesus, who died for all of us. Ethiopian said, "Well, if he died for me, I'd like to be baptized." Philip looked around and said, "Well, there's not a baptismal fountain around here anywhere I see. I don't see any baptismal fountains around here." The Ethiopian eunuch said, "Well, there's a little bit of water. You can do it right over there." Drew the circle a little larger that day. So I want to encourage you to move out of your comfort zones and draw the circle a little bit wider. The second thing I'd like for you to consider is, when we come to church, look for those who are new amongst us. They could be a guest, could just be somebody you don't know. Therefore, treat everybody as a guest. So here, when people come, practice radical hospitality. Welcome people, no matter what they look like or where they come from. And you know what? When you do that, you're drawing the circle just a little bit wider. Now, the third application is the hardest of all. It's the hardest of all. You see, every one of us have been rejected by someone, or we've been hurt by someone, or there's someone that's just difficult to get along with. There are some people who may be our enemies. There are times in our life when we realize that that person is telling us, "You don't belong." And what I want you to do when you come into those situations is, don't worry. There's something you can do. You can draw the circle bigger. And just like this poem here, outwitted, that's what it's about. You draw the circle that takes them in, whether or not they take you in or not. Those are three tough applications, but those are the applications today. Because we belong to Jesus, we belong to one another, and we are called to help Jesus reach other sheep who do not know they have a shepherd or a place to belong. Draw the circle a little larger. Today, the circle is being drawn for you. You're welcome to come, and Polly and I will pray with you about anything and everything. The circle is large enough for everybody to know that you're welcome here in this place, and that if you hurt, we hurt. If you rejoice, we rejoice. If you can't pray, we can pray. If you can't sing, some of us can sing. Let us stand.